You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Today we got Get Angry 3. Get Angry 3, yeah. And the last couple of weeks we've had a lot of funny stories about angry people, right? Has anyone else been finding that pretty funny? Who has been blessed by the series so far? Yeah, good, good. Respond with your words. Yeah, good, good. Who here is enjoying the series so far? Respond with your words. Yeah, good, good. And who's been encouraged and, you know, by the fact that other people are more messed up than you? Yeah, yeah. Like, who's been encouraged about the fact that the people who preach at this church have more anger issues than you do? Yep, good. So that's encouraging, isn't it? Kind of like, you know when you go into bed at like 1 in the morning and you're tired all the way up to that, right? You're freaking out, man. I got to go to bed at 1. This is going to be dreadful, right? I'm going to hate my life when I wake up at 4 a.m., right? And then you find out that somebody else has to get up at 3:30. And all of a sudden, you're fine. Also, you're not even tired anymore because it sucks for someone else more than you, right? You ever, is that just me? Hands up if you're like that too. Yeah, good, good. I'm a little like that. And so when you hear that, you know, the preachers have got some anger issues, some of you are like, oh, I'm not so bad. My journey's okay. I'm doing all right with the Lord so far, right? Anyone feel like that a little bit? I did, because I didn't know Jed could get angry. I didn't, like, he's a redhead, so I assumed, but I'd never seen it, right? I didn't know that it actually happens. And so I was really encouraged last week that Jed up the back, he's running the media desk today. What is the deal with that? And yeah, give him a hand. He's a jack of all trades. Anyone needs their car worked on, Jed will do that after church out there down the back of the parking lot. And he can do anything. But when he was telling that story about getting like into some road fighting with another guy in another car, only to realize at the intersection that it was one of his best mates. And they were like, hey, dude, was anybody else like, that's my worst nightmare? Is that you? Like, because you drive like that too, don't you, right? Come on, you a bit of road rage, yeah? Like, you road rage too. And then my worst nightmare is that I'm going to pull up to the intersection next to one of you, like someone from my church. And they're going to be like, I'll leave in this church for sure. There's a reason my car doesn't have a sticker on it, you know? Hey, I'm a Christian. People are like, I don't like Christians. I don't wear that sticker, okay? But anyone else done this whole thing where you're driving angry and you realize that the person you're getting angry at is going the same direction as you? You ever had that? Now, I know that, here's the thing. I know in our church, y'all are great believers and you're never the perp, are ya? Like, you're not the perpetrators of the issue. You just respond to, like, the Baptists and the Lutherans and the Catholics, right? It's no one from Eternity Church that is ever actually bad on the road, right? Y'all are perfect, aren't you? Yeah, yeah, come on. I know you have never done bad road rage except in response to these other Christians out there, right? Yeah, yeah, that's right. And so you're driving and these other people who you responded to in anger, they're pulling into the same street as you. And you're like, ain't going home. Who's done that? Come on. All right, let's be honest. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Who's done that, right? Yeah, some more of you. Like, or you're about to pull out to Eternity Church and you're like, no, I'm going to pull into Lutheran Church of Hope. Because you're trying to protect our reputation. Don't worry, I love those guys as well. And they probably pull in here when it's happening to them, right? They're like, I ain't pulling into my church. Just go to Eternity today. So they all think that's where we're from, right? Come on, you all done anything like that before? Don't want people to know where you're from? Good. Let's pray. Right now. We got to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you haven't called for perfection from us. But God, that you've called us to draw near to you. God, help us today, help us to know the difference between anger that's righteous and anger that's selfish and self-seeking. Help us to recognize the moments in our lives where our anger is selfish. And may it drive us towards a desire for righteousness instead. God, help us to recognize those moments and to get past them. That God, help us to find a way to deal with that in our lives so that we could just be angry about the things that are going to produce fruit in our lives. God, angry about the things that make you angry. God, may our unrighteous, selfish anger be replaced with righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So Lauren reminded me this week of perhaps the time she saw me at my most uncontrolled anger. You know, like not righteous anger at all. You know, like we're talking a lot about anger here and, you know, it's okay, we all get angry. But let's be real, some anger is not okay, right? Sometimes it's just straight up bad. You know, it's on the other line, it's hanging on the other side of the line, away from righteous anger. It's just straight up wrong. Well, I had a period in my life where I went through 3 cars in 2 years. I fashioned myself a bit of a mechanic, you know, just one who didn't know anything about cars. And so I'd buy older cars and I'd drive them and they'd break down. And I was pretty awesome. I could change spark plugs and brake pads. That was the limit. And let's be real, that's what goes wrong the most, right? No, probably not. So anyway, these cars, they would blow up, like create a crater in the ground, blow up. It was bad, right? And so I got sick of them blowing up, endangering my life. And so I bought a new car. It was 2 years old or 3 years old or something. I think it was a 2004 model Subaru Forester. Great car. And I bought it about 10 years ago. Now, here's the thing with having a new car. You want to look after it, right? First time in my life, I spent more than $20 on anything, right? And so I'm loving this car. I'm driving it. Day one or day two, I park at the supermarket because Lauren and I were going to go grocery shopping. When I get out of the supermarket, jammed between a concrete wall and my Subaru was a shopping trolley. Shopping cart. There was a shopping cart jammed between my Forester and a flipping concrete wall. Who's angry right now? Yeah. You imagine what happened just now, eh? So I did what any reasonable person would do. I grabbed that shopping trolley because it was its fault, wasn't it? Yeah. Did that itself. It's like, I'm going to ruin Jesse's day. No one put it there. It's just the stupid trolley, right? So I pick that sucker up in front of my beautiful fiance and pick it up over my head and I launch it 20 feet into a concrete wall. Yep. And I know what y'all are thinking. How did that boy lift anything? But sometimes anger can give you a bit of adrenaline, right? And usually I could only lift it an inch off the ground, but I got it 20 feet this time. Launched it into the wall, and after a moment of feeling like, flip, I'm tough, I started to feel like an idiot. Yeah. Some of you, without lifting your hands, because I know you're ashamed of it, are like, yeah, maybe I've been there, right? Maybe I've done things like, maybe I've walked across the road and kicked a taxi cab or done different things that I really shouldn't have done, right? Someone in a church may or may not have ever done that. And so after a while, I'm looking at my wife and I realize that, sorry, my fiance right now thinks that I'm a rageaholic moron. Didn't feel good at that time, did it? My fiance is thinking, you're a flaming idiot. And I'm sitting there going, oh, congratulations, Jesse. You just showed her you get to marry this. She's like trembling. Every time we talk about it, she gets in the corner and she's afraid. She's like, that guy's a psycho. But he bought me a ring, so I'll marry him. Who knows that anger can be good, but that doesn't mean it's always good, right? Now, here's the thing. These are funny stories, right? It's funny even picturing me lifting something up, I know. But it's funny thinking about someone going crazy and throwing a shopping trolley into a concrete wall, like that's going to teach the trolley a lesson, right? It's funny to picture Pastor Jed the holy and righteous Pastor Jed only 3 weeks ago driving down the interstate getting angry at his friend. Did you say it was 3 weeks ago, Jed, or was it like... Okay, years ago, whatever. Little details. It's funny to picture that happening, right? It's funny to picture all of y'all out there waving your fists at people as you're driving because someone went only seven miles over the speed limit instead of the 9 you're allowed before Rich and Vern arrest you, right? It's funny to think of that, but just because it's funny doesn't mean we should make more of these stories. It's funny now. But we don't want to make more of these stories in our lives. See, when anger turns to rage, it's wrong. Righteous anger turning to rage is wrong. You know that? Even something you're supposed to be angry at, when it turns to rage, it's wrong. We're not supposed to do that. When anger isn't slow, it's usually wrong. When anger is driven by self-feelings of pity or frustration, it's usually wrong. Aren't you glad that God is slow to anger? God is slow to anger. It took him thousands or millions of years. I don't care which one you believe. Quite frankly, doesn't change my life. The earth is 7 billion years old. The earth is 7,000 years old. I don't care. Jesus came, he died on the cross for your sins. Praise God. Lord God created the heavens and the earth. I don't care when, okay? But just imagine thousands of years or millions of years. Aren't you glad that it took him that long to get angry enough to pour out his wrath on Jesus Christ on the cross? Aren't you glad it took him that long? Amen. Took him long enough to formulate. He was slow enough to formulate a decent solution to the situation. When we are quick to anger, when we have a quick temper, don't you know we don't see things like we should? We don't process things the way that we ought to process things. King David sang in Psalms 145, he sang, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all and his mercy is over all that he has made." God is slow to anger. Think about it for a moment. How fantastic it is that God's anger doesn't come so quick that it just destroys you, that he takes time to formulate a plan and a solution that's going to help you. Amen. Think about this. If we're supposed to be like Christ, Christ-like, little Christ Christians, right? If we're supposed to become more like Christ, how should our anger come on? It should come on slow. That's a great way for us to know the difference between what is righteous anger and selfish anger. We can look at it and go, is this slow to anger or was this a quick temper? So when I'm driving down the road, when Jed's driving down the road, when the pastors of the church are driving down the road, the speed limit is 65 and I'm stuck behind a car that is only doing 67. And everyone knows you can go 9 miles over the limit before being pulled over by a police officer. Now, have you ever heard of adaptive cruise control? It's like when you set your cruise control and it maintains a certain distance between your car and the car in front. You can set a far gap, a medium gap, or a near gap. Mine's always set to right near it. But some people, I think, turn that thing to the left and they maintain the speed of the car next to them. Mm-hmm. Now, when people do that, right, and they're maintaining the same speed as the car next to them, going only 2 miles over the limit, which is almost a sin, I'm pretty sure. Like, when they do that, and I've been behind them for 30 seconds, and I'm getting angry, doing Pastor Jed's swervy thing, you know? Or was your mate, wasn't it? His mate's swervy thing, and you know that thing where you swerve? It's like, it's not totally mean, but it's just letting you know that, dude, I want to get around you. You know, I want to get past you. I'm not dancing here. I'm trying to send a message, you know. And we're doing that. And, you know, is that slow to anger? It's not, is it? That's pretty quick. I've been behind that guy 30 seconds. I already want to cut him. I might have a problem, right? Or what about this? Now I'm stuck behind him 4 minutes. Now, on a good day, that's from here to downtown Des Moines, right? Now I've been behind him 4 minutes, him and his mate with their adaptive side-by-side cruise control, destroy the world, anger control, right? I've been behind him 4 minutes, and now I really want to cut him, right? And his car, right? I'm going to slash those tires. You know, is that slow to anger? It's 4 minutes. 4 minutes. I don't think we have time in any driving trip anywhere to really get it to be a righteous road rage. Can I? Is this? I don't even know if there's such thing. Is there such a thing, Nate? Depends. Yeah, maybe. There is for pastors because we're always righteous. That's not true at all. What about when you're listening to worship music and you're driving, you got to turn it off because you know the Holy Spirit is not in the car right now? You ever had that going on? Yeah? Check this guy out.
Step on that gas pedal or I'll come step on your... The light's green, go! Where'd you learn to drive, Helen Keller? Here I am to worship. Really? Use the crosswalk? I will hit a pedestrian. I will hit a pedestrian. Oh, really? You in a big hurry? You drive a Prius. Go save the planet.
Nice haircut, loser.
Oh, that is it.
come on. You've been driving your car before, singing your praise music, inviting the Holy Spirit in there, and all of a sudden you realize he ain't in here. Yeah, you had that moment. You're like, I better turn this off before someone else, because you know that somehow that they're going to hear the worship music while you're like waving to them inappropriately, right? Yeah, come on. I'm not alone. You know what Galatians says? Galatians tells us that patience and self-control are fruits of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. The more time you hang out with God, hanging out in His presence, the more time these things will become a part of your life. Patience, self-control. That's another great way. Sorry, that's another great benefit of drawing near to God and spending time in His presence. You ever have your parents tell you, don't hang out with that kid, you'll become like him? You ever have that? You know, like that one, you know, the one kid in your school? And like, you know, and you'd always have a smart aleck response like, no, exactly, that's true. Don't you want them to become more like us? So we have to hang out with them for their sake, right? You ever do that? Was I the only one that was that much of a cheeky bugger? Yeah, good, good. And, you know, well, you know, that's true though. The people you hang out with, people, the environment you find yourself in repeatedly, you become a bit more like. And that's why in Scripture we draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Spend time in the presence of the Lord. Become more like Him. Start to act like Him. Stop having such a quick temper. Stop lacking self-control. See, it's not okay just because it's funny. Just because it's funny and just because Pastor did it too doesn't mean it's okay. I too, like you, I'm on a journey. We're all on journeys from over here where we started to over there where we're going to be. We're not there yet, but thank God we're not where we used to be. And just because I used to road rage doesn't mean I should road rage today. Amen? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise because I don't want to be like I was. We should all have a heart that says, God, help me to be slow to anger like you are slow to anger. So just as God has emotions, He does, God has emotions. Just, you have emotions because God made you in His image. People go, what about shame? Even that, at one point in Scripture, God was ashamed that He'd made mankind. He said, I wish I didn't make them. But the problem is God knows how to manage His emotions better than we do. We need to hang out with Him more, like that kid we're not supposed to hang out with, so we can become more like Him. Spending time in His presence. See, God has jealousy. He's jealous for us. Not jealous like someone talked to my wife, I'm going to go stab him. But jealous like the devil's trying to hurt my wife, I'm going to destroy him. You know, that kind of jealousy. The devil's trying to move in and destroy my family, I'm going to get mad about that. Come on now. He loves so purely. He has joy, great joy in us. He has anger too, but just because God has it doesn't mean the way you're using it is of God. We need to use these things to push us toward God, to be more like God, not just use them. Pastor Jed preached last week, get angry about the fact that your neighbor is going to hell. Get angry about the fact that some of your family members don't know Jesus and they're living without hope. Get angry enough that you're walking past people who every single day are living in shame and pain, and the devil's having a go at them, trying to make them stay stuck in that pain, stuck in that poverty, stuck in that shame, stuck in that life where everything they've ever done wrong is counted against them. Get angry about that and say, I'm going to see God deliver that person and bring freedom in their life. Amen. Get angry enough to walk past the ridicule that people are going to say about you when you invite them to church, and just do it. Just say, I don't care what they say. I'm angry about what's hurting you. So come to church. You need to come to church with me this Sunday. Get angry enough about what's going on in people's lives that you do something about it. But anger that's not managed from a place of righteousness will always bring harm. Anger at drivers who don't drive like us, because let's be real, whenever we get angry in those unrighteous, selfish situations, we're really just angry that God made individuals and they're not exactly like me. Right? Why doesn't everybody think like me? I don't know, because God didn't make robots. Right? He made individuals appreciate and love that person. Praise God. It's not good for our hearts to live like that. So living in this constant state of anger is not good for our hearts or their hearts or the people around us who have to listen to our constant negativity. But anger from righteous desire. Now that's good. Yeah? Now that's a good thing. Christine Kane got so angry that slavery still exists that she started A21 campaign. She got angry that Jesus Christ came to bring us freedom, yet 27 million people still live in slavery on planet Earth. She got angry about it. She turned to the Lord and said, God, help me. Take my anger or help me change it. And A21 was born. Look it up online. Send them a check. Do something great. Praise God. Do you know that anger can bring you freedom? Do you know that? Anger can bring you freedom. Can motivate us to do something about the problem, break chains, all sorts of things. You've seen it in movies and you've heard the stories about people finally getting so angry that they just break something off their physical bodies. And it's real, because anger gives us adrenaline, and God designed our bodies on purpose, with a purpose, not by mistake. And so this anger, these moments like that, are supposed to drive us to do something that we couldn't have done if we didn't get angry about it. You know that? Anger can bring you freedom. It can break chains off your life. Let me ask you this. Are you tired of being chained up by sin? Are you tired of it? Are you done with it? Are you so tired of it that you're getting angry about it? Is there something in your life that's hurting you, hurting your family, hurting your health? Is there an issue, a sin, something that you're just so sick and tired of? Get angry about it. Get angry about it. You don't have to live like that. God doesn't want you to live in bondage and chains anymore. Get angry about it. Say, enough is enough. Get off me. If you're going to clap, clap. Own it. Amen. Get angry at that thing. Seriously. Get angry at what it causes in your life, at its effects on your family. What it's doing to your health, what it's doing to your mind. I'm not saying get angry at yourself. If you keep finding yourself stuck in this thing, don't get angry at yourself. Get angry at the sin. Don't get angry at your neighbor. Get angry at the situation. Don't get angry at your husband or at your wife. Get angry at what's happening, the attack, the addiction, the problem, the shame. Get angry at that thing and stand up and say, no more. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, no more. Now touch your other neighbor and yell at them, no more. Come on now. Matthew chapter 5, 27 says, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in her heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one member of your body than your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better that you lose a hand than your whole body burn in hell. Cut off your hand. Let me tell you, he's not telling us to go around cutting each other's hands off right now. That'd be a whole kind of weird thing to do. That's not what we do up in here. But I want to tell you what he's talking about is, what are you willing to do to cut this thing out of your life? What are you willing to do to cut this thing off your life, this cancerous pain, this thing that is causing distress and hurt in your family, that you're finally angry enough to say, God, I'll do anything. What do I got to do? I have a friend, a family friend, and let me tell you, there are way more problems in the world than just lust. This is just the example I have right now. My friend had a problem with lust just a few months ago. I got to talk to him. He called me up. He said, I don't know what to do. Everything's falling apart. I'm so angry. And he felt bad for being angry. And I said, that's good. You need to be angry. This thing's been on your life for 20 years. You need to be angry. You should be angry. Get even angry. I give you permission. But don't be angry at yourself, and don't be angry at who you are, but be angry that this thing is on your life, and kill it in Jesus' name. So we get off the phone. We talk about a day or two later. By this stage, he'd been angry enough. He smashed his phone, not in a fit of rage, but he was angry enough. He just smashed that thing. He cut the internet off at his house. He sold his computer. He deleted his Facebook, his Instagram, his Twitter, all the other things. He got rid of iTunes. He got rid of Vudu. He got rid of Netflix. He got rid of everything that could possibly have an access to it in his life. He gave his credit cards and all his money to his wife. He told her what's going on. He cut off the hand. He cut it off, said, get off me, hand, get off me. To paraphrase, it's better to live without internet than to lose his family and his life end in pain. Better to have no smartphone and not be able to click like on someone's stupid little, oh, look at my food picture, than to struggle for the rest of his life with lust, right? I think his life got better when he had to stop reading some people's Facebook posts. Oh my gosh, everybody hates me. You'll be right. Go to church. I just want to write that every time. Go to church. You know? Anyone else feel like that sometimes? We should just do that. Like every time someone complains on Facebook, just go to church. You know? Anyway, don't do that. It probably will come across mean because there's no tone on. Yeah, whatever. Let's move on. Priscilla wrote to the Hebrews as the band comes back up. Priscilla wrote to the Hebrews in the book of Hebrews, run your race with endurance and throw off the sin that so easily ensnares you. She's telling you to cut off the hand of the sin that so easily ensnares you. See, God has a race for you, great plans for you. God wants to bless you and the world through you. What sin so easily ensnares you? Is it lust? Is it drunkenness? Then don't go near that stuff. Is it rage? Talk to someone about it. Bring it into the light. Don't let it just be you and your wife and your kids that have to deal with it. Get someone else in on that with you. Is it complaining? Constant negativity? Is it stealing and theft? Is it lying? What is it? I don't know. But are you so tired of doing these things, but somehow you still do, and finally you find yourself saying, I'm angry about this thing. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation. Praise the Lord that your salvation is guaranteed. But heart after God, Scripture says that the only thing you got to do to have salvation is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and confess with your mouth that He is Lord. But what about the quality of the life that you're living? What about all the days between now and when you go to eternity? What about that moment, that gap in between? God wants you to love your life. This isn't just some test. This isn't just something where you're down here as an experiment by God. He wants you to love your life. So what do you got to do? What do you got to change? What do you got to cut off? You don't have to live with that pain forever. You don't have to hide in darkness till the end. God doesn't want that for you. God hates sin because sin hurts you. God hates to see you living in pain. Wants you to live in freedom, break the chains of your life. We'll sing a song in a moment. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And I want to tell you, it's time to get angry at your sin. All that anger that you have about road rage and drivers and stuff, man, I hope you're angrier at the shame and pain of sin than you are at slow drivers. Isn't that funny? God is slow to anger. The thing that makes us the angriest is slow drivers. James 4, 7, 8 says, submit yourselves to God, therefore. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Isn't that funny? Resist the devil and he'll run away. Draw near to God and he'll come closer to you. Isn't that neat? I know a preacher who once was willing to cut off the hand. This story is pretty epic. He told me a story about how at a hotel he got propositioned. Now, he's a famous preacher all around the world, still is, praise God. He got propositioned by a young lady at the hotel. So he yelled and screamed in anger. He knew that if he made a fool of himself, it would cut off the hand and she would run away. And she did. Don't get me wrong, I'm not calling her the devil, but the devil wanted to use her to ruin this guy's ministry, that's for sure. So he yelled out, sex, 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 no! Just yelled it out like a freaking weirdo. Hands up if that's weird. It's weird. You know the girl ran away, don't you? See, some of you think, what a stupid thing to do, but was it really? It may have looked stupid. He's a world-renowned preacher. Preaches to probably 150, 200,000 people a year. Doing great things for the kingdom of God. He told me, what happens if I sleep with that woman? How many people are hurt? What happens to my family, my children, my wife, my in-laws? People all around the world saved under my ministry. What happens to them? So why the overreaction? Well, he told me that at that particular stage in his life, he didn't completely trust himself not to go back for that in the middle of the night. So he cut off the hand. Just cut off the hand. Cut it off. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. She was so embarrassed. He made such a fool of himself. Such a scene in the lobby. I want to tell you, as you stand up with me, church, you can be free. You can be free. You can be free. Don't believe the lie of the devil that you're stuck with this. Don't fall for the lie of the devil that it's just a family curse. Make peace with it. Hey, Jesse, your family's full of alcoholics. Your great-grandpa, your grandma, your dad, your brother, you just accept it, Jesse. That's what you are. It's what you guys will be. No. No. No, it's not what I'll be. Set free. Chains broken. I cut that hand off a couple of decades ago. Cut that thing off. Cut it off. You can be the one who breaks the chains of addiction in your family. You can be the one who sets a godly standard in your family for generation to generation and generation, like we talked about with baby dedications and in the offering word. You just got to get angry and break free. Amen? Break free. Get angry. Break free. Get angry enough to step out the front here at the altar and say, I need help with this. Get angry at its shame. Get angry at its pain. Get angry at the way it sucks the life out of you. Now, I want you to know this before we go any further. I'm not angry at you. I'm not concerned about what you're doing. I'm concerned about what it is doing to you. I love you. This isn't the church where we're all like, y'all gotta be perfect. No. We start over here, we'll end over there, we'll go on a journey in between. We all got different things we're working on the journey, right? But some of these things are sucking the life out of you and we want to say, God, would you rid this from me? Would you get this off me? I'm angry at it, I'm mad at it, I'm going to cut off the hand. But before we do that, if you need prayer for that or anything else, healing in your family, or provision, finance, you need a job or relationships in your family, whatever, I don't know. Come down the front and get prayer. Particularly, don't walk out of this place when God's told you it's time to get angry about something.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.